Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is so good to be here once again. It's not often we have a church two nights in a row, but I can't think of anywhere I'd rather be here tonight. So praise God. We are here once again to worship the Lord and to study His Word. And of course, before we do anything, we do need to pray. We always do that because we need the Lord's help so very much. So we're going to pray right now. Father in heaven, we thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here once again on this night so that we may come together and worship Thee and sing Thy praises and glorify Thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would be here. I pray that Thy Spirit would guide us and direct us. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us as we seek Thee, as we worship Thee, as we praise Thee. Let Thy presence be here upon each and every one of us. Let us truly know that Thou art here, for we believe Thy promises, and we know that Thou hast said, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. And we believe that promise. We embrace that promise here tonight. We know that Thou art here with us. And I pray, O God, that Thou would preside over this entire service and let Thy perfect will be done tonight. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to start with number 64 in the chorus book. Bless the Lord, O my soul, number 64. Bless the Lord, O my soul. His own, the name. one of those great things that he has done is he took our lives and the mess that our lives were, and he made something beautiful, something good out of our lives. Let's go to number 5 and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good. Number 5. Something beautiful. Saved our souls, and he went to that cross for us, and you know, we really do owe him everything for that. Let's go to number 42 and sing Thank You Lord for Saving My Soul. Number 42. Thank You Lord for saving my soul. For making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Jesus. Let's go to number 141 and sing Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Number 141. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. And sing, He is my everything. Number 106. For me. to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to number 98 and sing Because He Lives, number 98. Quickly, we're going to take up the collection. Matt, would you mind helping us with that? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee once again for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy many blessings. We thank Thee for Thy care towards us. We thank Thee for giving us this place where we can come together in Thy name and worship Thee, sing Thy praises, cry out to Thee, O God, and study Thy precious word. We are so blessed by all that Thou hast done for us, and we thank Thee that Thou hast kept us. I pray that Thou would continue to lead, to guide and direct us in all things. Give us Thy great wisdom. And I pray, O God, that Thou would give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou would bless the givers here this night. And also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of Thy saving blood. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, it is my understanding that we need to pray for Wayne. I know he had a colonoscopy that was today, right? And it didn't go as well as we had hoped. So we're going to pray for him and ask the Lord to touch him. And I know they're going to do some further testing and so forth. And we're just going to pray for a good report. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer again for Wayne, praying, O God, that thou hast reached down from heaven and touch him. I pray, O God, that thou would speak to his soul. I pray, O God, that he would reach out to thee. I pray, O God, that he would put his faith in thee and in thy healing touch. And I pray, O God, that thou would move in his very innermost being, in his very soul, O God. I pray, O God, that thou would work in his life. And we pray, O God, that these further tests would come back and we would receive a good report. We pray, O God, that this would not be a cancerous situation, but we pray, O God, that if need be, thou would work a miracle in his life. For we know, O God, that thou art a miracle worker. We know that thou art our great physician. We know that nothing is too hard for thee and that thou canst do all things well. So we pray, O God, that thou hast touched Wayne tonight. And anything that may be wrong there with his health, we pray for a complete healing. And we pray once again, O God, that thou would touch his soul. And I pray, O God, that thou would draw him unto thyself. I pray that he would reach out to thee in faith and lay hold on thy promises. We ask this and pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus before we go into the word. And, why not sing number 157, Open Our Eyes, Lord, number 157. And we know that He is here in our midst, right here with us, even right now. And if we would just open our eyes of faith, we could see Him. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to turn it over to Shirley and get started with our Bible study. Praise the Lord.
Jesus, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, it is wonderful to sing God's praises. It's wonderful to have these opportunities. Oh, yes. I know there are many people that would give anything to be here. Able to sit in this place and to worship the Lord and to be able to open up His Word. Oh, there are many people that would give anything to be here. Oh, praise the Lord. Here we are. You know, two nights in a row, that's good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need revival. Amen. We need to feel the presence of the Lord. We need to get into that place where He can move in us and change us and get us ready. Get us ready because we don't know what's ahead. We could just feel like, you know, there's all kinds of things pending. Oh, we can see all kinds of signs and know that there have not been times like this before. But here we are. Here we are. We can open up the book of God. We can open up the scripture and we can see what it would show us here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to pray and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we could come before Thee, Lord. We just thank you that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you are in our midst, Lord. Oh, God, you know how to tug at our hearts. You know how to get us ready. Oh, God, you know how to move in the lives of our loved ones and change the things that need to be changed, God. Oh, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that you would move in us, that you give us faith, Lord. Oh, Lord, for you did ask, oh, Lord, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? And I pray, oh, God, that you would put faith in our hearts, Lord. Faith to believe you, God. Faith to know that you are God. Faith to share this gospel. Faith to come alive in you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, faith to stand, oh, God, against the life and all the trials and all the opposition. Oh, God, all the darkness, Lord. I pray that you give us faith, Lord. Oh, God, for you know the times and the seasons. I pray, oh, God, that we would, oh, God, be aware, Lord. That our eyes would be sharpened. Oh, God, our minds would be sharpened. Oh, God, that you'd help us, Lord. God, that you'd bind, oh, God, every contrary spirit to the Lord, everything they would oppose Thee, Jesus. Oh, God, put faith in our hearts, God. Faith to move mountains, Lord. Faith to stand, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, stand here asking for your help, Lord. Oh, God, knowing that we need you, Lord. Oh, God, we don't know how many more opportunities we have ahead, Lord Jesus. All we know is, oh God, the days are short. Oh Lord, you're coming to soon, Lord. Oh Lord, there is a world that needs yet to hear the gospel, Lord. Oh God, and I pray, oh Lord, that you move in us. You give us, oh Lord, that unction from you, that determination from you, Lord. Oh God, that anointing that comes from you, Lord, that you pour out of your spirit, you pour out of the Holy Ghost upon us, Lord, that we'd have that ability, that power to witness. In the name of Jesus, Lord, oh God, bind every contrary spirit, every doubt, every fear, oh Lord, every spirit of opposition. In the name of Jesus, God, every contrary spirit, oh God, we ask that it would submit to Thee in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, Lord. I pray that you move, Lord, that you meet the needs of your people. Oh God, that you tug at our hearts. Oh God, that you would open our eyes. Oh God, oh Lord, that we would be that light in this world, that the world could see you in us. Oh Lord, In Jesus' name we ask and praise thee, Lord. Oh God, meet the needs of those online, God. Oh Lord, those that stand with us, Lord. Oh God, and oh Lord, would love to be here. But I pray, oh Lord, that you would answer the cries of their hearts. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Psalms 85 here. Just a shorter psalm, but the Lord brought it to my attention a few days ago, and I guess that's is where I felt that I needed to go here tonight. We're going to call this, Wilt Thou Not Revive Us Again? Wilt Thou Not Revive Us Again? We know that the weather here in Wisconsin is still a little up and down. We know that we see signs of spring. You know, I've noticed that some trees are budding out, and I see buds on other trees. And I got excited the other day because I saw some robins, and praise the Lord. And you know, the grass is green, and in fact, I think my front lawn looks like it needs to be mowed already. But praise the Lord. You know, we look for those things, and you know, it's just wonderful after, you know, the winter, everything goes dormant here up north, and you know, it looks dead. Those trees look dead. The grass looks dead during the winter. A lot of animals go to hibernate, or otherwise they only come out when the weather is more ideal. And, you know, it's not very lively in the winter in many ways. But then the Lord brings about spring, and it's a miracle every time, you know, just to see what happens as earth again begins to bring forth, that grass begins to get green, and we begin to see daffodils and tulips and, you know, oh, clover and all those kind of things come up out of the earth, and creatures running all over the place, birds singing, and you know, with twigs in their mouth getting ready to... Or I'm sure they're building their nests in reality. But you know how beautiful it is. The Lord takes our lives. Oh, we were all there. We were all without hope. We were all without God. Oh, we all needed Him so desperately. But a wonderful day it was when He came into us and breathed eternal life within our very being, gave us something. He took our lives, you know, we like that song, Something Beautiful. We didn't have anything to offer Him, you know. He took us as we were, you know, and all our misery and all our grief with all the sin. But He began to work in us as we gave Him the sin, as we turned our life over to Him. He began to change us and begin to operate in our inward man and begin to bring out something that would give Him glory, something that would be beautiful and reflect His image. And we couldn't do it of ourselves. It had to be the Lord that took us and began to change us and mold us and shape us. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, our wonderful God who could take us and revive us, put His breath within us. Oh, yes, and give us hope. And, oh, make us new creatures in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. We're going to go, as I said, to Psalms 85. And it's written for the songs of Korah. I believe it was probably sang. But here it is, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Now, I'll just stop there because these three verses all flow together here, but you know, what a wonderful thing. God had taken His people out of the land of Egypt. Oh yes, they had been in bondage there, and there was that day when Moses led them out. Oh yes, it would take them a while, and it didn't go so well in many ways, but He took them out. He brought them out of that captivity, And of course, we know the years went by, and after Moses died, and then Joshua led them into the promised land, and you know, things went well as long as Joshua was alive and the elders. But then children of Israel didn't do too well after that. Oh, they would fall into those ruts and begin to serve the idols, the heathen practices that were surrounding them, because they had left many of the enemies to remain there among them in Canaan land. And so it was. Pretty soon they were doing those abominable things in the sight of God. And God would allow them to be overtaken by the enemy. Oh, yes. Be taken by the Philistines or whoever it was that surrounded them for the moment. And then they would cry out. Oh, they would see their rebellion and realize their need, and they would cry out, and God would have mercy on them. Oh, what a wonderful, patient, kind God he is. This happened again and again, did all throughout those years of the judges. And finally, Samuel, as the last judge, took over, and at that point, they wanted a king. Oh, it wasn't God's perfect plan, but he was going to let them do it. He was going to give them over to the desire that they were nudging Samuel for, and so it was. But there was trouble often. There was often trouble. But praise the Lord, when they would repent and turn from their waywardness, God would have mercy on them. Again, it was always the way it was. And so it is even today. Oh yes, God sees it all. He knows it all. Nothing is hidden from him. But as individuals, if we will cry out to the living God, if we will give him our heart, we'll turn it all over to him. If we let that sin go, come unto the Lord. He's going to forgive us. He's going to show mercy. He's going to forgive us. Praise the Lord. He's going to cover our sin. Oh, praise the Lord. And what a wonderful thing that is. Because we were all headed for the lake of fire. We were all condemned. We were all sinners. We all needed the Lord. But praise the Lord, he made a way that we could escape his wrath. Oh yes, that we could escape the fierceness of his anger when it's turned. Oh yes, when he comes to judge this earth, when he comes to judge this world, and every individual that ever lives stands before him and gives an account of their life. Oh, praise the Lord, he made a way that we could be covered with his righteousness, covered with his blood. Praise the Lord, so we don't have to know what it's like to be separated from God throughout all eternity. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So that's how this chapter begins. And you know, that wonderful happy note that God had forgiven them and covered their sin, taken away his wrath. But at this point, these psalms are all written in the time period of the law. And the Messiah has not yet come. Jesus has not yet come to this world. He's not yet wrought such a wonderful salvation to them. And there's times that, you know, they need reassurances, obviously. And they don't know. They don't know what it's like to be forgiven like we do. You know, they had to come year by year and bring, you know, their bull or their goat or whatever off before the Lord, their sheep, to take care of their sin for that past year so that they could be forgiven, so that blood that was shed would atone for their sin. It wasn't like it is right now. We could all personally go before that throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help at the time of need. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, this dispensation, this period of time of grace. But here it is now in verse 4. There's some reassurance needed here. It's before Calvary, like I said, and that atonement hasn't happened yet. And the writer says, "Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease." Oh yes, you know, God is angry with the wicked every day. When things aren't right in the heart, there's something that stands in the way. Oh yes, there's condemnation. And then the question is asked in verse 5, Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? In other words, is it going to go on and on and on? Are you going to be angry forever and ever, Lord? Is there no end to this? And the verse 6, the question is asked, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? All these questions that are asked, wilt thou not revive us? Oh, God, wilt thou not make us whole? Will you not again bring us to that place, oh Lord, where thy presence comes down and we can feel thy anointing power and have those reassurances and know all is well, that we might, as thy people, rejoice in thee? Oh Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? And then the cry in verse 7, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Oh, yes, the Savior had not yet come. Oh, yes, to make that permanent change. Oh, to make that permanent atonement for sin. So the cry is going forth. That cry for mercy, that cry for salvation. And the verse 8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people, unto his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Oh, I know. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And oh, how sad it is when people have known what it's like to be forgiven and return again to folly. Oh, that is a sad state of affairs. Oh, yes, when hearts go back and forget what the precious blood of Jesus Christ has done, how that availability to take care of sins, to deliver, to make us free. Oh, that is folly. There is nothing more foolish than that, to disregard what the Lord has done and turn back into the way in which we have been delivered from. Oh, what folly that is. And, you know, it is quite a thing. I know there's a lot of people, even in this day that we live in, that think that you can live in sin and still get to heaven. But I'll tell you what, that's why Jesus died. So we could be freed from our sin. So we wouldn't have to live in it. So we wouldn't be condemned. That sin can go in the name of Jesus and we can be forgiven. But so often it seems like people, and it seems just particularly in this time period, people don't seem to know what sin is anymore. And they tread upon slippery places. Oh yeah, they kind of half want to live for the Lord, but most of them is given to the pleasures of this world and given to sin. You know, I hear people, you know, just talking lightly quite often, you know, just in passing, you know, oh, you know, people that, you know, talk about, you know, their six packs and you know, other comments like that. I overheard, I didn't really see their faces, but it was kind of in passing, I think at Trader Joe's maybe a couple weeks ago. My ears had perked up because I heard them say something about the Lord. But anyway, it really wasn't that good. This man was just talking to a woman, obviously, and just saying, when I was down there in the South, you know, they just couldn't let me get by with anything. You know, everything I did, you know, they just, you know, they called it. If you know, I said something amiss or did something wrong, and, you know, I just kind of chuckle it away, but no, that's people just think that they can live in their folly. And they can live in their sin. But oh my, there is a righteous God. And oh, it's wisdom to turn from sin. It's wisdom to get right with God. To get, oh yes, that heart cleansed from all iniquity. I know, as Paul was writing to the Romans, that he was writing in the 5th chapter of Romans about the wonderful grace of God and how it abounded. Oh yes, in this period of time, and how that righteousness would lead to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then he asks in the next chapter, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may yet abound? And he asks that question then. I'll tell you what, we better ask it today too. Because again, people don't seem to know what is sin anymore. But Paul answered in that 6th chapter, Romans verse 2, he said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Oh, you can't serve two masters. Oh, no, you're either going to love the one and hate the other, hold to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon, as Jesus told us. And Paul wrote, he said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And what a wonderful thing is, we go down in the waters, dying out to our sin and that old world, the thing that separated us from God. And it says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, praise the Lord, that sin is God. And praise the Lord, we know, as John wrote in his first epistle, in 1 John, the 2nd chapter, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But he made a provision there. He says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So praise the Lord, we can go to him. Our sin is covered by that blood. If we'll only give it over to the Lord in repentance. And he said, and he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, praise the Lord, we can go to the Lord knowing that he has paid in full that propitiation for our sins. Those dreadful, abominable things that separated us from God. Those sins that would have kept us out of heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. The provisions of the Lord. Praise the Lord for his mercy and his grace. Praise the Lord. So as I read again in Psalms 85, verse 8, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak. And how we need to listen to him. You know, a lot of times, you know, he does try to speak, but people aren't tuned in. Or otherwise, like Brother Samuel was saying last night as he was reading there from the book of John, I believe the 12th chapter, where, you know, God spoke, but they just said it thundered. You know, they couldn't believe that God was literally speaking to them. How many times is the voice of God not heeded? How many times do people call into the strange thing and say it's something else and it's not? But if they only would listen, oh, if they only would listen, hear what the Lord would say to them. So it says, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Oh, praise the Lord, he gives a peace that the world can't give. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Oh, yes, that one that should come to this world. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Oh, praise the Lord. We don't have to go back. We don't have to live in the world. He bought us. He separated us. He's made us holy, so we don't have to live in that state. Oh, and thank the Lord for it. Because sin is not going to enter into heaven. Regardless of what people think, it's got to be atoned for. It's got to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord, he made a way that we could come to him. The propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He made that provision. Oh, and thank the Lord. We better listen. We better take heed. Because one day it will be too late to come to him. One day it will be over. Verse 9 says, surely his salvation is nigh. Them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Oh, they could feel it. You know, the time had not yet come that Jesus Christ had come into the world to atone for sin. But they could feel it. There was that desire. There were those that looked for the Messiah, the one that would come and pardon them, deliver them, set them free, restore that which was lost because of sin. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then it says in verse 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Oh, mercy and truth. It's found together. Oh, yes, they work together. Oh, yes, the truth that sets us free, the mercy that God has showed us, that in spite of our past, in spite of our backgrounds, we could come to Him and obtain mercy. Oh, that favor that we have from Him in spite of all the shameful things that we have done. So they meet together through the Lord Jesus Christ. They're found in our Lord, in our Savior. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And praise the Lord, there is no other way. There is no other Savior. There is no other one that could bring salvation. It's only through Jesus Christ. And it says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. All that peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely He is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. He is the Prince of Peace, and He came to this world seeking, searching for those, seeking those that were lost, those that would obtain salvation. And praise the Lord. The peace that He gives is that peace that passes all understanding. His peace is a peace, as He described it in the book of John, a peace that no man can give. You're not going to find it in the hall of government. Oh no, there is no king here on earth that can bring about that kind of peace that the Lord Jesus gives. Oh, it's a peace that passes our understanding. A peace that helps us to know that all is well and there is now no condemnation in our hearts, in our lives, to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord, He came to release us from that bondage, to bring us peace. Praise the Lord, and thank God, His wonderful righteousness. Oh, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by His mercy that He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We couldn't do it ourselves. Oh, our own righteousness condemned us. It was just an unclean thing. It was as filthy rags. And there was no possibility that we could obtain our own salvation. But Jesus came. Oh, yes. He walked this earth. Oh, He put Himself under His own law. But oh, yes, He kept that law. He lived, and breathed, and lived in this world without sin. Praise the Lord. And it's because of that that His righteousness does clothe us. It offers salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. It's the right hand, His righteousness, that wrought such a wonderful salvation. And that peace that passes all understanding. So they come together through the atonement of Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. And what happened when Jesus walked this earth? Oh, yes, truth. It did spring out of the earth. Righteousness, it was like it looked down from heaven. God coming down to this world to redeem us, to restore us. Oh, yes, to make us His own. his own sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's look at Hebrews 10 here for a moment. Praise the Lord. As we know, what we are reading here in Psalms 85 was they were feeling the need. They were looking for the Savior who would yet come. They didn't yet know of the wonderful grace that we have bestowed upon our hearts. They didn't yet know what salvation would truly be like when we could come to Him as individuals and give Him our hearts. They didn't know that yet. It was all looking forward to that. And here it tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin." If that blood of the bulls and goats would have been sufficient, they would not have had to come again and again and again to find atonement for sin. They would have only had to come once and it would have been over and taken care of. There would have been no more conscience of sin. But it tells us in verse 3 here in Hebrews 10, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Every year it was required. Every year to take care of the past sins. So they had to come again and again. "For it is not possible," in verse 4, "that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins." It was just a temporary fix. And it tells us in verse 5, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith," and this is the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior that should come, the one they were looking forward to, "sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." Oh, what a plan. Oh, God of the universe, the Almighty One, the Creator, put on flesh. He robed himself in flesh and came to this earth as a human being, as a man. Oh, my. To walk in the steps of fallen man, to restore those things that had been lost. Oh, yes, to make reconciliation for the sins of the whole world. So here it was, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." I'll tell you what, it's been taken care of. How sad it is these days, there are some that still want to go back to that which has been taken out of the way. That which was imperfect, and they want to go back to it. Oh, tell me why. It doesn't make sense. But yet there are many. Oh, yes, there are many there that, oh, are thinking that they've got to have a temple. Oh, yes, and that, oh, there's got to be a blood of an animal to take care of sin, to make atonement. I'll tell you what, that's foolishness. Oh, yes, because there was one that already took care of our sins, and you can't go back. Why would you want to go back to that which is imperfect? But yet they are trying, and I'll tell you what, it isn't just the Jews. There's many Christians who stand with them and seem to think the same. How sad. But Jesus declared here through the prophet, here as it is written here, "In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Then said I, "Oh, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." It was written in Psalms 40, declared it, verse 7. Oh, it was written in the volume of the book, and there was one that was going to come to do thy will, O God. And oh, we know that Samuel brought it forth last night as we met here. And you know, we talked about the price that Jesus paid. Oh yes, he was a man. He had human flesh. It wasn't any easier for him than it would be for anybody. Oh, to make himself an atonement for sin, to make himself an offering for sin. Oh, to bear the sins of many on that cross. Oh, there was no pleasure in that. He could have called 12 legions of angels to come to his aid. Oh, to deliver him from that hour. But he said, for this hour came I into the world. Oh, yes. The volume of the book, it is written, O Lord. Oh God, I come to do thy will. It had been written. And above all, it says here, when he said in verse 8, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sins. Oh yes, they had all kinds of offerings that they had to give. It says, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Oh, that was just a temporary plan. Oh, yes, there was one that would come. Oh, yes, and pay the price so that would be taken out of the way. Oh, that would no longer be necessary. It was not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats to take away sin. And so it's written, as it says in verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He took that first covenant out of the way, so he would establish the second covenant, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of a body of Jesus Christ once for all. Once for all. It's over. It's complete. It's finished. Oh, he said it on the cross. It is finished. It was taken care of at that moment. It was over. That price was paid. Those sins were atoned for. Oh, and we can thank him. Oh, we can thank him now. We can thank him for all eternity for that price that he paid. Oh, that we might come boldly before that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Oh, yes, to find help in the time of need. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, to have our sins written off. Oh, praise the Lord. How can we thank him enough? But he did it once. It's over. We don't want to crucify the Son of Man again and again and again. So many do. Oh, yes, putting him to open shame, putting him on that cross, wearing that crucifix around the neck. Come on. I'll tell you what, that doesn't take care of sin. Jesus did it once and for all. And praise the Lord. It's finished. It's accomplished. And we can come before him. Oh, there is no greater thing than that. What he did for us, that we might be his sons and daughters, that we might inherit eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. There could be no greater gift than that. Oh, praise the Lord. So it's taken care of. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of a body of Jesus Christ once for all. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And oh, so much. Oh, it just tells how in these chapters in Hebrews, how the first covenant was, you know, it was a pattern for the thing that, you know, would come into being under the new covenant, under the second covenant, to permanently remove sin so that we would have to live in it. Oh, you know, we can give it to the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. We don't have to indulge in the things of this world. We can be free from all of that. Oh, praise the Lord. The price has been paid. And we can thank God now. We can thank him for all eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then finishing this chapter, in Psalms, the 85th chapter. Oh, yes, truth shall spring out of the earth. and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, it's going to be so important, so necessary that we be clothed with his righteousness, that garment, oh, that he puts on us, that spiritual garment, so, oh, that our old rags are no longer on us. Oh, no, we've been covered. Oh, by the grace of God. And we can come to him and find acceptance. We'll just repent and turn to him. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm going to go to Zechariah for a minute. I just feel prompted to do it. The third chapter, Zechariah, near the end there of the Old Testament. Zechariah. And it reads here, the first verse, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now, this high priest here, Joshua, now this is interesting here. The Lord has he's rebuking Satan. But here's Joshua. He was a high priest. It says in verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall you call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree? Oh, praise the Lord. Joshua wasn't fit to stand before God in those filthy garments. They had to be changed. Just as sin cannot stand before God. Oh, if we've got those filthy garments of sin on, we're not going to be able to stand before God. But praise the Lord, there was the branch that came forth. Oh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the servant, the branch. He came forth. Oh, yes. And why did he come forth? As it says in verse 9 here in Zechariah, to remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Oh, yes, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing on the cross. That's what he was doing. He was removing the iniquity that day. Oh, yes, so that we could come before him, so we could be clothed with the righteousness that is of God. Oh, that we wouldn't have to wear those filthy garments that would, help and prevent us from being in the presence of the Lord for eternity. No, those filthy garments that Joshua the high priest was wearing had to be changed. He couldn't stand and do the work of God in those filthy garments. He couldn't stand. There was sin. And so it is. We need the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, to touch our lives, to change us. Oh, yes, to clothe us, oh, with his righteousness, to bring about that peace. For when it talks about every neighbor under his vine or under his fig tree, it's talking about a time of peace. And surely that is the peace that the Lord Jesus gives us. A peace that man doesn't give. A peace that passes all understanding. Oh yes, a peace that rises in our heart even if the tempest is raging and the winds are blowing. The sea is as outrageously in this tempest. Oh yes. In spite of all the things of this world, in spite of all the trouble and all the things that are even going on at this very moment, this world in which we live, we can have a peace that the Lord Jesus gives. Oh, yes, there is none other that can give us that peace. But, oh, it was needed. Joshua couldn't stand before God in those filthy garments. Oh, Satan would see it and mock. He's mine. But praise the Lord. Oh, we gave our life to the Lord. And he took our filthy garments. He clothed us with his own righteousness. Oh, yes. The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes. Oh, that we could be partakers of his salvation and stand before him. What a wonderful thing it is. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And so, as it says in Psalms 85 here, the last two verses, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. And I love how it says in Psalms 37, oh, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I thank the Lord, you know. It's so beautiful how in spite of trouble, in spite of mistakes, the Lord takes our lives and ordains them and puts them in order, set us in the way of his steps. So that we can walk in his ways, so that we can know his voice and heed his instructions, all those steps that are ordered by the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps and the blessings that follow. Because our lives are given to the Lord. In verse 12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. And our land shall yield her increase. Those are blessings. There on just the chapter before, it says in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, that's how the Lord blesses his people. Oh, yes. People will turn from sin, from their iniquity, from their past, from their rebellion. Oh, the Lord will do the rest. Oh, yes, the Lord will turn our lives around in such a way. It says in Isaiah, the first chapter, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, that's what Calvary did for us. Oh, he took those sins, though they be as scarlet, and made them as white as snow. Praise the Lord, though they were red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Then it says in the 19th verse of Isaiah 1, if you be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Oh, praise the Lord, the good things that he has ordained for those that walk in his ways. Oh, yes, the blessings that he has, has held for his people. Yes, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Oh, what a wonderful thing. But praise the Lord. We go back to my thought at the beginning of this message, verse 6 here in Psalms 85. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, praise the Lord. There are other prophets that spoke of this. If we go to the book of Hosea, in the 6th chapter, we can read. Oh, yes, we can read how the Lord had made a plan that we could be revived. Hosea, the 6th chapter, here, verse 1. Hosea, it's a little hard to find. It's after the major prophets. It's after Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and then there's Daniel. And then we have Hosea, of course, Lamentation Paul's Jeremiah. But here it is, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And the things that the Lord allows so that people will turn their hearts to him. And that certainly has been his pattern. There are times that he allowed his people to be torn because there was no other way he could get the message to them. He couldn't make the point otherwise. They just didn't get it through all the blessings and all his kindness. So there was times he would allow them to be torn in a way, one way or the other. But it says he will heal us. There's times he would smite them. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. And verse 2 says, after 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Oh yes, there was all a pattern and a reason for all of it. Yes, the Lord allowed Israel to be carried off by the Assyrians. God allowed the Babylonians to come in and take away Judah. He allowed that. But there was that time, there was that promise that after 70 years, they would return. A remnant of them did return. So there was a revival when they came back, and how the Lord provided amazingly for it. The third day, oh yes, it would be that time when Jesus Christ would come so that we could know what it's like to live in his sight. Oh yes, to be made whole, to live in his sight. And then it says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Oh, he was going to come. He was going to pour out his blessings. He was going to come and bring forth that latter and former rain so that his people could be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank the Lord. It was all his plan. Little, oh, here a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, the Lord would begin to restore. Oh, yes, he allowed this. He allowed them to be torn. He allowed them to be smitten. But there was that time when he would bring them back and they would be revived. They would be restored. That third day he would raise them up so that we could live in his sight. Oh, what does it mean to live in his sight? Oh, I think so often of Ezekiel's vision of the dry and dead bones there, the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Oh yes, God showed Ezekiel that vision, that valley that was full of bones, very dry, in that very open valley. There it was, and God asked Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" "Oh, Ezekiel, oh Lord, thou knowest." And God told Ezekiel to prophesy to those bones and say unto them, "Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, thus saith the Lord. And oh, yes, I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Ezekiel prophesied to those dead bones. Oh, you never know what the Lord might ask us to do. It might have seemed, really silly. But God was showing him something, because we were all dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We were all far from God. We didn't know the living God. And this all, it all exemplified how there was going to be a restoration, how God was going to revive his people. And as Ezekiel prophesied to those dead, dry bones, there was a noise and there was a shaking, and those bones began to come together, bone to his bone. And then, lo, upon those bones, God began to put sinews upon it, and flesh upon that, and then skin covering the flesh. But still, they weren't alive, because there was no breath in them. There was no breath. And again, God said, "Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." I'll tell you what, he prophesied. Oh yes, to those bones that had come together. And as he prophesied, the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And this was symbolic of God would bring his people out of their graves, out of their spiritual deadness, and bring them up out of those conditions and put his spirit in us. So it declares in Ezekiel 37 verse 14, "And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, that ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." Praise the Lord. But that's how he raised us up, by putting his spirit within us. Oh, that wonderful plan of God, you know. Oh, yes, he came to this earth. Yes, he came to seek and to save those which were lost. And he knew that his stay here on this earth was short, 3.5 years only. But oh, he wasn't going to leave us comfortless. He was going to come unto us. He was going to revive us. He was going to put his spirit in our very being, in our very vessel. Oh yes, so that we can know the Lord. Oh, so that we could understand his ways, so that we could be filled with his spirit. And just as he had prophesied to Jeremiah in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, when he talked about the new covenant he was going to bring forth. Oh yes, was it going to be a covenant that like unto the one that had been made with their fathers? Oh, when under Moses there, when he took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, that covenant that they broke, even though he was a husband unto them, but he was going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel, tells us Jeremiah 31, verse 33. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Oh yes, he was talking about his spirit that breath that would come into our very being, as it did on the day of Pentecost when the breath of the Lord came into those 120 that were in the upper room, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify the Lord as that Spirit of God came upon their very lives, into their spirits, into their souls. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh, the wonderful covenant that our Lord brought forth, that we should know if we go on to follow the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, all the rain of his Spirit, as a latter and former rain unto the earth. Oh, praise the Lord. He did that. He did that. And oh, yes, that early church was full of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, yes. Jesus had declared, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall ye cast out devils. Ye shall speak with new tongues. Drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. You pick up serpents, it tells us, and you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Oh, he told them that. That was evidence that he was with his people. And that's exactly what they did. After he ascended into heaven, after he was received up into heaven, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Amen. And here we are at the end of the world. Oh, those signs were confirmed in the book of Acts. We can read of all wondrous events there in many places, many chapters. But here we are in these perilous times, seeing the things that are coming upon the face of the earth. We don't know. You know, I heard that we're at war with Syria. And if that's true, then what's going to break forth from that? We don't know. We might not have but moments to prepare our hearts and to get right with God. Oh, we're living in that time period when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's the time period that we're living in. Oh, yes, that time period that Paul talked about when he wrote to Timothy, the second epistle, and that third verse, and he talked about the perilous times that shall come upon the face of the earth. Oh, we're living in this time. Men are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but not denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Oh, these are the moments that we're living in. And we can see it on every hand. I know Sister Shirley was telling me of how they're in Fort Smith, Arkansas, that there at the library, they had opened up one of their meeting rooms to these witches, obviously, and then they invited children from the age of 8 to 18 to join them as for their moments of magic and sorcery, and asking them to bring their cards and whatever all they were going to do to, you know, make, I suppose, the magic of Harry Potter seem all more real. That's the world we live in. All these kind of things are in front of us. Would they allow us to go in there and preach the gospel? was happening in those schools, in our high schools, middle schools, even in the grade schools. I'll tell you what, I don't think they very often allow prayer meetings in schools anymore. But yet, I'll tell you what, if you're a witch, you seem to have great freedom. Or, you know, if you're going to teach some other religion, yeah, you could show the children how to, you know, they could do something else, you know. Just anything but the truth, anything but the Word of God, anything that has real life to it. But, yeah, you know, we'll have a day, you know, for the Muslims, and, you know, talk about their customs and maybe dress up and, you know, maybe even go to a mosque and, you know, just see what that's all about. But here we are in this period of time, and I'll tell you what, it's time to give heed. It's time to look up. Churches are preaching it. Oh, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Most churches are just social clubs, you know. They might have their parties and their events and magic shows and concerts of all kinds, but I'll tell you what, are they having revival? I'll tell you what, if we ever did need to come together and seek the Lord, it is now. It's no wonder that we were told that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And it tells us so much the more as we see the day approaching. Oh, it was good to be here last night. It was wonderful, oh yes, to join together and have that fellowship and that reflection time, thinking about what Jesus did for us on the cross. It was a wonderful time, and I thank God for our dear brother that came all the way from Iowa to be with us and then drove all the way home. Probably had to work today. I'll tell you what, there's somebody that has a hunger in his heart for God. I'll tell you what, it's time. It's time to get right with God. Oh, we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. That's any time we should let them slip. It tells us in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which of the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Oh, that question, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Yes, I think we better give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We're in the end times. Our redemption is nigh. It's time to look up. It's time to be right with God. Oh, I tell you what, if there was ever more time needed for more study, it's now, studying God's Word, to know the books that have been hidden in our hearts. Who knows, they might literally take our Bibles away. And besides, oh, they've changed the Word of God so much that most people don't even have it anymore. Those other versions of the Bible that take or add from God's Word. Oh, it's not right, it's awful. But how we need prayer meetings. Oh, yes, how we need time of travailing before our God, realizing, oh, that there are yet souls that need to be plucked out of the fire. There is yet a harvest to be reaped before this is over. There is yet work to be done. Oh, if we ever needed to draw nigh to God, it is now. If we ever needed to be revived, it is now. Well, the day is at hand. And I'll tell you what, you know, when it's summer and when it's hot and that sun is, oh, hitting and there's no rains, what happens? Things begin to die. The grass all withers. Oh, the crops can't grow. If it's going to be hot, we need lots of rain. And I'll tell you what, as we see sin scorching this earth, as we see the times, as we see all the end coming upon us, and that scorching, we know we need the rain of God's Spirit more than ever before. If we ever needed a time to get serious, if we ever needed a time to hit the altar and start praying and crying out, receiving the Holy Ghost, it's now. Oh, yes, there may become a time when we don't have that ability to go to the doctors. You know, we're going to know what it's like to trust in God, to put our faith in God. Oh, yes, to heed His Word, to put His Word to the test. Oh, come on, it's time. It's time to give earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Lest at any times we should allow it to slip. Oh, my. For He's coming. Oh, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And again, wilt thou not revive us, that we might live again, that we might be alive in thy sight. Oh, just as, they needed to be revived in times of old, we need it now. We need to gather it together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. It's time to get priorities right and forget about the things that really don't matter and truly give our hearts to the Lord. Oh, yes, to pray like we've never prayed before, to witness like we've never witnessed before. Oh, yes, to get down to the nitty-gritties and give our hearts totally to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, He's coming. It's time to be revived again and let Him work in our hearts like never before. By the grace of God, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Now there's a song that comes to mind. Just need to look up the number quickly. Let's go to number 291. 291 in the hymnal and sing Revive Us Again. Number 291. Oh, God, the Son of God. prayer in Jesus' name.